I am TWOG, and this is The Manual. Do me a favor, don't take yourself so serious. Wipe your Tims off at the door. We're here for the, not the flagship episode, not the penultimate episode. Give me an adjective, Daddy.
He can't answer.
He's got to go into his brain and get logic. He couldn't just throw a word at me.
I'm trying to find the word that
All it took was any word would have worked.
I don't know which word to give you.
Greatest episode that you're ever going to listen to.
It's a test episode. We're testing out the equipment. We're testing out the thoughts. We're testing out the plan. This is where we're throwing everything. This is the pre-show.
Here's where we went wrong with our last iteration of a podcast.
Okay.
We were honest.
Too honest.
We were like, our show's pretty good. We're like working some things out. Like, you'll like some of it. Some of our stuff. Nah, that's not how we're doing it.
We're selling
it
hard.
If you're a guy who grew up in the hip-hop construction generation,
right,
then the TWD podcast, The Manual, is for you.
Because one, you should be listening to.
Because one, you already live by most of these morals. They're
right.
Embedded in your genetic code.
Right.
The morals of the TWD. Do you have to be W to be a TWD? No.
It doesn't hurt.
Here's what I thought. I've been thinking about this while I was driving around.
Okay.
What is the crux of the TWD's morality?
This is the same thing I've been thinking about. And I think there's a couple different ways to go, but I think a good one is the TWD, even though it may not be the best, but they can hate.
No, it is the best.
Well, no, that's
listen,
not.
We just talked about this 35 seconds ago.
No.
We're the best.
The TWD is the best, but what I'm saying is they may not come out as the best in every single situation, but there's no situation you can put them in that they can't find a way to
manage. They can't come out of. That's a solid way. I think that the crux is acceptance.
Okay.
And inclusion.
Okay.
Right? You accept everything of yourself and what you are.
Right.
Right? Because for a long time, because before you're a TWD, you got to go through the first phase of that, which is being a stone cold Wigger.
Okay.
Mostly. You know, you could get TWD without the first phase, but sure, most of us have been through the first phase at an earlier juncture in our life.
You got to throw the throttle to 8,000 RPMs
exactly,
and then back it down.
And find out where your center point is, right? And we were doing that, acting outside of maybe what we are, trying to fit in with anybody who would let us fit in, because there was a bit of self-acceptance that was lacking.
Sure.
Right? And so as you grow older in this culture of the WD, the TWD, you learn to like just be like, oh, this is me. I'm this, the all these things. And if you don't like it, well, I'm sorry to hear that.
You get sort of the starting point is the fake it till you make it sort of idea where you're just going hard with the whole thing. Like, this is where I want to land. But then as you get there, you scale it down to the things that actually work for you. And then that's just who you are. You built yourself. And
you've accepted yourself.
Deal with it or don't deal with it.
And the inclusion part is when looking outwardly, we're going to make fun of everybody.
Oh, yeah.
But when it comes down to it, we're also going to go, no, you're good, man. Like, do your thing. Be you. I don't care what you do. It's irrelevant to me.
Right.
I had a good friend named Two Muffins the Jackhammer.
Right. That was
Rest
the
in peace.
Certificate name or no?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. His government. Two Muffins the Jackhammer had a issue with women.
Okay.
He was deathly scared of talking to girls, and because of his self-acceptance,
sure,
he figured, you know, he had himself all twisted up in his head that he could not talk to girls. And I kind of told him, like, hey, listen, let's be realistic here. You're not going to be knocking down dimes, but you could get a nervous six every day of the week.
Right.
So I would go back and forth and kind of try and, because at that time, at 26 years old, I was knocking them, you know, I was going eights
hitter.
Or better,
yeah,
dog. Eights or better.
You're batting fourth everywhere.
Yeah. A seven was on the low end
that
for
was,
me.
That was a settle.
Yeah. And a nervous six was if I took a couple of Xannies that night.
Right. You couldn't see.
Yeah, exactly. Or if they dropped a couple of Xannies in my drink. I've been taken advantage of in such a fashion twice in my life.
And you couldn't see.
Yeah. So, I would kind of like coach him
right,
the best that I could.
Yeah.
But there was a thing that kept coming up, which was, like, I would say something, and I could sense that he, like, got uncomfortable by me kind of giving him a harsh truth.
Okay.
Or maybe it was a harsh not-so-truth about him, right? But I would sense that he would get, like, uncomfortable, and immediately my follow-up sentence was, yeah, but what I say doesn't matter to you. What I say is irrelevant, which is kind of the way... I look at the world coming and going, right? Like, what you say, if it doesn't apply, it's irrelevant to me. And I hope that if you get offended by what I say, don't, because what I'm saying is irrelevant to you. Okay. We're all just dealing with words here. Sticks and stones, babe.
I got you.
That's off on a tangent that's brings me completely away from what my first thought is.
Which is?
So I was watching, there's a guy named Tommy G.
Okay.
Tommy G's a YouTube kid.
All right.
And he's popping. He, like, blew up over the past couple months.
Go for him.
I stumbled across him when he had less than 100,000.
Right.
Now, I don't know, he's getting 1 million on views. I don't know what his subscriber count is, but he's up there.
But he's popping.
Dude seems to be a Midwestern TWD. Clean-cut kid, but he walks through any situation, and he's himself, and he seems to be accepted in any situation he walks into because he's like, hey, I'm just me. I'm just a white kid from Minnesota.
The authenticity kind of gets you over.
Mm-hmm. So Tommy G goes to St. Louis to film a video called The Most Dangerous City in America.
Okay.
Which apparently in St. Louis, it's wild easy to get a gun.
All right.
Like, you don't need a license. You basically turn 18, show them some form of ID, and they give you,
you go down to the post office,
whatever you're looking for. Yeah. Now, he's on the block with a bunch of black kids and one white dude.
Okay.
Who's
besides him?
Yeah.
Okay.
This white kid runs with the, he's from the hood. He's like, now, it's long been thought, like, every hood that I've ever been through, and there's been a few, I've been in some rough spots,
sure,
hung out in some rough spots, passed through some rough spots. Every hood that I've ever been through has a white mic.
A white mic.
Now, white mic may be really popular in that hood, or he might be a NPC.
Okay.
Right? But there's a white mic in most every hood. So this white mic, Michael Henderson, who also goes by the name of Lil Wick.
Lil Wick. All right.
Little Wick.
Lil Wick or Lil Wick?
Well, he spells it L-U-H, so okay. It's Luch.
Like Lil Wick?
Lil Wick. Pardon. Pardon. We're going French today. Oui. In honor of Lil Wick.
Oui, oui.
Lil Wick looks a lot like a dirty kid from Vineland.
Okay.
He's got the dirtball mustache.
Right.
You know, a number two shaved all around, a little bit of acne.
Right.
Probably, he's maybe, you know, he's regular height, 5'9", 5'10", weighing in at like 140.
Scruff on his Adam's apple.
Yeah, dude. Dusty, dirty looking kid, but he's hanging out in the most dangerous hood in America. So right. I look at the kid and I go, eh, okay, Lil Wick, I see you, whatever. And didn't think of it twice. This week, I find out, everyone, who is your favorite president?
Well, it's President's Day. He's
oh, I'd
he's
say
staying
it's,
on topic.
I'd say it's probably the Dominican Cerveza El Presidente.
That's
be my favorite president.
That's good drinking.
So I find out this week, Lil Wick is sitting, Michael Henderson is sitting right now with murder charges because he did some John Wick stuff, right?
Okay.
He lived up to his name. Now, I don't know if he earned the name because of his actions or if he felt like he had to live up to the name, so he decided to hop on a motorcycle and pull a shooting in traffic. He's wheeling a dirt bike with a switch in his hand.
All right.
In a more serious note, though, right? I think that a lot of people outside of, even in our generation, right? You look at this kid who's in a black neighborhood making drill music and gets himself into a violent situation where now he's screwed for the rest of his life.
Right.
And I think that a lot of people immediately look at that and go, well, it serves you right, dummy. What were you doing?
As if you had options.
Well, that's where it comes in. And I'm not... He did have options. But there obviously there was somebody... There wasn't somebody there to, like, guide him towards the options. So now the best that we can hope for Lil Wick is that 15 years from now, he finds a hiccup in his case, in his paperwork, right? Okay. Like, I don't think it would... If they free Lil Wick tomorrow,
right,
it's no good.
He won't have learned anything.
No.
Okay.
He's 18 years old. He's out in the streets making drill music, running drills. The guy that he shot, from my brief research, doesn't appear to be gang affiliated. Now, I don't know what the story is. I couldn't get to the story. I've heard that it was his stepfather.
Okay.
Now, I don't know how much truth there is to that. I don't have it, like, on a solid account. I tried to dig up the paperwork from the St. Louis court system, but I didn't have the time to do that either.
Gotcha.
So now the kid's sitting on a murder trial. He's quite possibly doing the rest of his life in jail.
Yeah, and because he's sitting on first degree.
Right, and that may be the thing that keeps this kid from losing his life, right? Because if you're out in the streets and you're on dirt bikes doing shootings at 2 p.m. in the afternoon in traffic against somebody who's not even gang affiliated, this isn't even gang war stuff. The guy was like a 40-year-old white dude.
Yeah, 42.
You're on a crash course for getting yourself shot. Or right. Locked up.
Right.
Getting locked up is the better of the choices.
Yeah.
Now,
you're at least a little bit safe, depending on who you pissed off, but you're at least a little bit safe.
Now, in the comments of everything that I've watched or read about Lil Wick, there's at least a few people saying, like, oh, now he's going to get his buns took in prison. Like, it's all goes to, like, oh, he's going to be real sweet in prison.
Right.
However, this is from people. This is an ignorant. This is like the ignorance, right?
Okay.
Because Lil Wick is TWD certified. You don't get to hang on that block in that neighborhood, running drills with those guys without being certified by your neighborhood, right? I don't know if he was born there. He could have been in foster care and wound up living there. Maybe there's. As far as I know, there's been a couple of real hard white dudes who came out of St. Louis neighborhoods, right?
Right.
Lil Wick is just at the early stages of that. So he's going to go into the joint and he's going to be okay because his boys are in there. His neighborhood is in there.
Right.
He's of the neighborhood. He's not going to go in where he's like some kid from, 50 miles outside of St. Louis who was trying to play tough and play gangster. From everything that I could tell, the kid's really a thug.
Right. So two questions.
Yeah.
One is, as much as his block is going to be in there when he goes in, aren't the rival blocks also going to be in there as well?
Yeah. And I don't know how it works in Missouri sure. State Prison. You know, like, there's a lot of spots where my understanding is that, like, your block and the beef that you're having with your block goes out the window when you make it to state.
When we're communal.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then it becomes kind of a bigger scale. California becomes race. Chicago, you divide into folk nation and people nation, which is like, which category does your block fall under?
Okay.
So I don't know how that they function in St. Louis, but I'm sure that if this guy has the heart to do some dumb activities like he did, he's going to have the heart to put a toothbrush in you if you try and take his ramen noodles.
Right. So
I don't see him having a problem. Okay. I see him getting himself where I think this is the kind of guy that needs to be locked up in order to grow into the man that he's supposed to be. Because he wouldn't be in that spot without proper guidance and proper male role models. He wouldn't be in a place where he's at right now.
Okay.
So now we can, the best we can hope for him is that instead of going in and being a hot boy and putting the pedal to the metal while he's in the joint, which he probably will do that for a few years, and then one day he's going to hit 24, 25, and he's going to go, what am I doing? I'm just making everything.
Sioka Cadillac of Atlantic City is bringing luxury from the shore to your door. Choose from a huge selection.
Just looking for news, and this is what came up because he's CTS Lowick. Cadillac commercials came up.
Yeah. He's going to turn around and go, what am I doing?
Right.
At which point, there will be somebody there to help with his guidance. Whether he turns to religion or just to the power of himself.
Right.
Because no one's more
religion.
No one's more powerful than you.
Right. You're your own God.
And hopefully at that point, you know, 7 years from now, he starts really doing some legal paperwork and can find himself a loophole in his case 15 years from now when he's 32.
Right.
And ready to come out and actually restart and have a decent life.
All right. So that pivot point that you're talking about, does that just come from exhaustion? Like, I'm just tired of being this person and I need to be a different person because this is exhausting? Or does it have to come from, like, let's call it a traumatic incident?
I wish I had the scientific word for the measure of how hard something is.
Okay. Like difficulty?
No, like actual like a rubber is 15.4A, sure. Oh, rubber.
Yeah, there is a...
Versus iron, which is 375, sure A.
There is a measurement for that, but keep talking while I'm looking for it.
But his ability to change, it could come from exhaustion. It could come from a traumatic situation, though it doesn't, you know, unless he starts right off the rip, because this is the most traumatic of situations you could find yourself in.
Okay.
It's going to come solely from the barometer. Do you got the word?
Barometer's good.
No. Do you got the word?
Oh, for the hardness testing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, where'd it go? So it's the HR scale.
It's going to...
And it's the Rockwell instrumentation test.
Yeah. So his ability to change is going to be directly correlated to where his head falls on the HR scale and the Rockwell test.
So directly proportionate to the difficulty.
To how hard-headed he is.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right? Because the more hard-headed he is,
right,
the longer it takes to get exhausted.
To get the message to get through the density of the head.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Density would have been the word that I could have used right from the jump, and we could have avoided all
but
that.
We're trying to teach people. That's how you get more thorough. So I did want to go back real quick.
So we're probably frozen.
It doesn't look like it to me.
Well, I definitely am.
I'm seeing you over here. You're floating fine.
All right, I'll pull this back up. No, all right, it's just my thing.
Okay. So since this is the idea of this show is to coach up how to be thorough.
Yeah.
Right. Is there a level of
like Lil Wick is not going to take to coaching?
No, that's actually not what I was asking. What I was looking at more like we've deemed him thorough just based on what we know about him.
Yeah.
If this guy that he shot and killed is completely unrelated to him in every sense of the word,
mm-hmm,
and it was just a random father that he murdered in the middle of the street for no particular gain, is he still thorough?
I don't see that being the case.
That's not the question. I gave you an if. Because
then depend on the details.
Okay.
It'll then depend on the details. Don't do it, Pay.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm doing what you did. I'm looking to try to find out who this other guy is and how he's related to the situation.
But that we are trying to coach up Thorough.
Absolutely.
Brings me to not the next thing because it's not here in front of me.
Okay.
But if it was,
I would
tell you.
Go on.
Oh.
We need to come up with like the way they have that Rockwell scale. We need like a Thorough scale.
Well, okay. I'm on it.
All right.
I have to think on that one. For a long time, me and my brethren.
Okay.
My right-hand man for on and off, more on than off for the past 25 years, Uncle Smoke Dog.
Right.
Have been claiming TWD rule number one in many situations, in every situation, you can claim this rule, which is, do I have it? I don't have it. TWD rule number one.
You know me, right?
You know me, bro. Is we'll figure it out.
Right. Right. Okay.
Now, you've been following TWD rule number one your whole life. Whether you're TWD or not, you've been following it without even knowing. And I know that because this hypothetical you, whether it's you or you over there sitting across from me, I know you've been following it because you are here and existing.
Right.
Right? Which means that up until this point, anything that's come your way, I got to spit that thing out.
All right.
Anything that's come your way, you have figured out a way past it.
Right.
Now, you can attack life in a few different methods, okay, right? A situation arises, you might have the answer for it already, or you might decide that you'll never find the answer. But by you sitting there, kind of putting focus on what's the answer, it trips you up.
Okay.
Right? You do need the answer to some things.
I understand.
But you kind of have to pull back, and instead of looking, you know, digging through and looking for an answer, there's like an idea, a side quest idea of like, I'll figure it out. And you kind of float through and let the answer come to you.
Okay.
Rather than fighting your way through barriers that are just, that are going to exhaust you trying to get to that solution.
Okay.
I'm not saying that every situation is best by floating through. Right, some you need to fight for your answers and fight for your right to party.
Sure.
Or else there's going to be no sleep till Brooklyn.
That's right.
But part of we'll figure it out, part of TWD rule number one, is figuring out when to fight and when not to fight.
When to fall back.
When
to say, all right, it can't be today, I got to regroup and then get resituated, right, and let's go.
Because we'll figure it out isn't about your wins and losses or your successes and your failures. It's about your progress, your overall, okay, progress. We're, you know, Eats loves Nipsey Hussle. Big shout out to Cousin E.
All right.
I can't get by a work day without listening to at least a little bit of Nipsey Hussle, right?
That's not a bad one to latch on to.
But it's a marathon, as Nipsey says, right?
Sure.
You don't have to win every battle. And some guys, like some people even say, like, it's not about winning every battle. You're going to find a better lesson in the battles that you lose rather than the battles that you win and what you gain. There's more to learn, right? There's more to learn in those losses. But we'll figure it out. Being about forward progress, those losses don't hurt so much because you're not dwelling in the loss. You're more on the path of forward momentum.
Right. That's what Jalen Hurts was last week on the press interviews. It's either a victory or a opportunity to learn. There is no such thing as a loss.
Right. Yeah. A learning experience, as they told us in Daytop.
Right.
An LE. So get yourself acquainted with problem solving.
Yeah.
You know, like that's kind of the idea here. I talked to this morning. I was on the phone with Bruce Lee.
Oh, the Kung Fu guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know him. And we were discussing the importance of being an aquatic gentleman. He says to me, "Be the water."
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, "What do you mean?" I mean, I'm a man of an aquatic lifestyle. On occasions, I like a good Sperry.
Sure.
You know,
you are a docksider kind of guy.
I love polo sailing gear.
Yep.
Back in the day, I was heavy into Nautica. He says, no, that's not what I'm talking about.
That's not where he's at with this.
I want you to be the water and move around the obstacles that are in your way. And I said, Bruce, you're speaking my language, Daddy. That's TWD rule number uno.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it different. We'll figure it out.
Right. So you got it from Bruce in reading Hicks and Gracie's biography. It's the same thing. You're water in a bucket. Wherever the bucket goes, the water flows to the bucket.
You roll with it.
And that's it. That's just how it works.
We're the water that we smoked in the late 90s. You know, we leave.
But we're bong water?
No. PCP.
Oh, right. Well,
we're the
right
water that we smoked in the 90s that leaves room for creation, elevation, enlightenment, and or mass hysteria. Either or. You could go either way. But you stay fluid with it, baby.
Yeah.
You know?
You have to. Because you can't... There's things you just simply can't fight. You have to work your way around it. You have to work your way through it. But you can't just stand up to it. It's too, you know, some things are just too overwhelming or too powerful. So if you're thorough, you're not always just lowering your shoulder and trying to run through a wall. Sometimes, you know, you have to go around the wall or under the wall, as the case may be, to get to where you need to get to next.
That's it. You need to figure it out. It's about progress. It's about the progress and the momentum, less than the tediosity.
Tediosity.
Of the successes and the failures. And that way, at the end of it all, you walk away like you're Bruce Willis with an explosion behind you and a buddy with a Jerry curl next to you.
Right.
And you guys are still moving forward.
Right.
You know?
I do.
TWD rule number one is we'll figure it out. So if you guys are keeping track at home, you can put that one in your notebook.
Write that down.
There will be a quiz on it later this week. Let's see what else is on our agenda here. How about a little roll call? I know Coco and Anthony are in the chat, but I don't know who else is here. Is AIDS here? We haven't seen you, AIDS. Where are you at? They don't know. Aid. They don't know what that really means. You know what I mean? They don't know that's our guy.
They don't understand. But that's all right. They'll figure it out. They'll get more thorough.
Here's the thing that doesn't necessarily have to do with particularly being thorough.
Okay.
But it's a piece of society. There he is. I sensed you, bro. I sensed that he was close by. I knew it. Real recognized, real feel, other real. Like, it's a presence, bro. It's a presence.
It's like the force.
You know what I mean? Yeah, thorough white dudes recognize other ones when they are in the area. Even if it's remotely via a Wi-Fi connection.
We're all connected.
Very well. So this is not particularly like, it's on the periphery of the TWD culture because so many guys in our shoes are, have had drug issues.
Okay.
Or come from neighborhoods where it's prevalent or know somebody who's messed up or at one time was, right?
Right.
So now they are making Narcan prescription free.
Okay, over-the-counter Narcan.
You could just buy it. I don't know what it cost. Really, if they cared about the American population, they'd probably just hand it out for free.
Right.
Which I think some places they do, but I don't know. I don't think that that's the law. I think right now they're making it so you can buy it over-the-counter, which... I'm not against it.
Okay.
By any means. And in my mind, I probably, if I think of it when I'm at Walgreens, I'll ask if they have it to buy it because you never know when you're going to be the guy who's in a situation where that could save somebody's life.
So I'm not fully familiar with it, but Narcan is basically the adrenaline shot for someone who's overdosed on heroin?
Yeah.
Okay.
It reverses the effects somehow and brings you back to life. I've watched it work more than once.
Okay.
Ever tell you a story about the guy who died in the bathroom at work?
Yes.
I'll tell it to you again for the other guys.
Let's do it.
So, I'm working. One of my customers is... an adult film star and her husband, right? They were a good customer. I did a lot of work for them. They were solid with the paychecks, and just cool to work for.
Right.
Friendly folks, right? Down to earth, friendly people. So I have a buddy. We're gonna call him by name because he's a dick and he died on my job site, and I have no interest in protecting his honor at this point.
He gave that up.
Yeah.
When he screwed up.
When
your
you
job
died
site.
On my job,
right.
You lost your respect.
Yeah, that makes sense.
No, I still respect him, but also I don't care. The bull's name is Quick. We call him Quick.
Okay.
Quick was from my neighborhood. Also, me and Quick did like 9 months together. We were best buds when we did a stretch together. We used to play ball. We were killing him on the court, bro. All
right.
Because I was good at assist. And he could take it to the hole. So I just dish it off to Quick, and he was a stocky dude, so he took it to the hole strong. Right?
Throw bows.
But he was quick. Stocky and quick. Oh. Rightfully so, I guess. That's not why we called him quick.
No, no.
It was part of his last name.
Right.
But Quick can't get his head out of his ass.
Okay.
He'll get his shit together for, you know, 2-3 weeks, and then he falls back apart and he disappears. So he had disappeared at some point, hadn't talked to him in years. I wind up, he hits me up. He's like, hey, man, I'm home. I just got home from doing X amount of months. I'm like, all right, welcome home, buddy. What are you going to do? What are you going to do to keep your life together this time?
Right.
So we're talking. He's got a good head on his shoulders. I said, well, I'll bring you to work next week. I got some days for you. I can't keep you busy 40 hours a week, but I can give you enough time to put some money in your pocket. You know what I mean? You start moving here.
Right.
So I take him to this job. First off, he's a sex pervert.
Well, so this is the perfect job for him right off the bat.
He's a little bit of a deviant. I've heard stories of him wearing his girlfriend's panties, which we accepted from him because it was such a hilarious story.
Right.
On the other hand, also kind of weird. I've never had the urge to wear my girlfriend's underwear.
No,
and she's got some beautiful pairs of underwear.
That's one hurdle I haven't had to clear.
Right. But whatever, it could be not true also.
I don't know. My head once, but that was an entirely different situation.
I'll smell a pair. Don't get it twisted, dude. Untwist it, bro. I will smell a pair.
Yeah.
We're not saying don't get it twisted anymore.
No.
Only untwist it.
Untwist it. Get it reversed.
Twist the cap off, dude. I'll smell a pair. So, unfurl it. I'll smell a pair. Any other synonyms you want to throw in the mix?
No, I think that's perfect. We get rid of be more thorough and move it over to unfurl it. I'd smell a pair, and I think we're really going on
that's
the right
probably
path.
Our tagline. Welcome to the manual.
unfurl it.
I'll smell a pair.
That's right. But we don't say what it's a pair of. Like, each week it can be a different thing.
We won't say anything.
Yeah.
We'll never explain it again. So if you're watching right now, you understand why every episode from here on out is unfurl it, I'll smell a pair.
That's right.
Nobody else will know. I'll write it down after the show. I got to tell them, like, look, behave yourself. These are nice people. I understand that you've seen this woman naked. She's not my flavor, so I've never seen any of her films.
Right. Plus, you're not a films guy anyway.
No. Well, I have been.
I mean, you've seen, but like, it's not, you're not, let's just say you're not a connoisseur of any
Well,
kind.
I was in my 20s,
okay.
Like everybody is.
All right, okay.
I've grown out of watching adult films.
I understand.
So I'm like, look, I get it, dude, but be a gentleman here. Like, these are this is what's feeding us this week.
Right.
So don't be a savage.
Right.
No, I'm good. I'll be cool. And he was. To his credit, he was.
Okay.
We work 1, 2, 3 days. A day comes. He shows up, and he's looking a little questionable at 6:30 in the morning. And I'm like,
And you can see this because you're familiar with this.
Yeah. I'm like, something's going on. I couldn't put a full finger on it. I couldn't say, hey, he's doing this or he's doing that, but he's doing something.
He's off.
And I even thought to myself, maybe I should send him home. Right? Maybe I should just go, yo, because I can see that you're not right. Go home. We'll start again tomorrow.
Sleep it off. I'll see you on Thursday.
Right. But I didn't. Because I needed help. And two, I just didn't have the heart to, like, get into that argument or that discussion at 6 in the morning when he showed up outside my house.
Yeah, it's early. Stern hasn't even started yet.
So we go to work all day. He's been questionable all day, not helping out much. Finally, towards the end of the day, I'm like, you know what? It's time to clean up, dude. Let's just get out of here. He's like, all right, I got to use the bathroom.
Is he the only helper on the site?
Yes.
Okay. So you're just brewing frustration the whole day.
I was annoyed all day.
Okay.
It's time to clean up, cuz. He's like, all right, let me use the bathroom, then I'll come back and I'll keep helping you out. All right, do your thing. So I'm start cleaning up. 20 minutes goes by, half hour goes by. I'm like, where the hell is this guy? And it dawns on me, I'm like, this is not it. I had that feeling like
this isn't good.
This is not good.
He's not just, you know, taking a dump.
So I walk into the house and I walk down the steps. Their bathroom's in the basement that we were using.
Okay.
I asked the customer, I go, yo, is Quick in this bathroom? He's like, yeah, he went in there a while ago. I haven't really heard anything. I'm like, that's not good, dude. Bang on the door. No answer. I'm like, you gotta be shitting me. I'm like, Quick! Nothing. So I go to open the door. It's unlocked. He didn't lock it.
Okay.
And I can't move it because he slumped back to the door. All 260 pounds of him slumped to the back door. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I start yelling. I'm like, you motherfucker. And I get the door open enough that I can reach around and like grab him. And I kind of just yank him out of the way. Open the door. He's blue. Not breathing. Just face up blue. And I'm looking. There's no paraphernalia. Like, there's not a spike sticking out of his arm or a bag on the table. I'm like, I know what it is, right? So we're like, fuck, I'm smacking him. I'm pouring water on him. I'm like, yo, I'm yelling. Customer goes, what do you think it is? I'm like, he overdosed. I'm like, I don't know what he did, but he did something that knocked him out. Yeah. He was like, you think it's opiates? I got Narcan upstairs. I'm like, yeah, you don't fall out like this on mushrooms, cuz.
This isn't too much weed.
Yeah. He didn't accidentally take an extra Prozac this morning, Bo.
This isn't 3 ecstasy instead of 2.
Yeah. Yeah. Go get the Narcan and call 911.
Right.
I'm still trying to smack him. I'm like pouring water on him, doing all the things that they say that you're supposed to do.
To jar him.
Shy of putting ice on his nuts.
Right.
That's supposed to be the cure. You put his nuts on ice and it wakes him up.
Interesting.
I don't know. I don't think it works. It probably doesn't work, but that's what they say. So he comes down. We hit him with 2 sprays of Narcan in each nostril.
Okay.
He had already called 911. They're on the way. So now I'm like, well, I can't let him OD and then also get locked up. So now I got to clear your pockets.
Right.
Right. So I'm going through his pockets. I find a spike and I find a couple of bags and I'm like, this dick. This is exactly what it is. Ambulance comes. They're sitting at the bottom of the steps, and we told them, we're like, yeah, I'm pretty sure he did heroin and OD'd, and we hit him with Narcan. Maybe you guys hit him with more. I don't know. Because now 5-10 minutes has gone by, and he's still in the same shape.
He's fading out again.
No, he hasn't come back, too.
Okay.
The ambulance is like, you know, the EMTs are like, nah, we are not going to hit him with more. Like, he'll come back.
Let this circle.
Like, they're made, like, right. And this is in Fishtown, right next to Kensington. So they're like probably just jumping from OD to OD.
Right.
That's all they do all day is deal with these calls. So we're like, okay. So then he gets up. He like comes to, but he's like physically moving.
Okay.
But his words aren't working, and he can't see. His eyes are open, but he can't see.
Like his brain hasn't caught up to
his
body.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, Sean, Sean, hey, Sean, hey, Sean. I'm like, I'm right here, dude. Jerk.
Right, asshole.
Yeah, I'm right here. You died.
Right.
Right. I'm like, just sit down. Like, and I guess he heard my voice and recognized it in his brain, even though he couldn't see. I'm like, sit down and be calm. You're going to keep coming back. Like, we gave you Narcan. You're going to keep coming back some more. Just, you got to wait.
You're sort of like fading in and out for a little bit.
Yeah, just coming back slow.
Until everything reboots.
Yeah. And so eventually at some point, I can get him so that I can assist him to walk to the truck.
Okay.
I'm like, you're going into the truck and sitting there like, I don't want to look at you right now.
Right.
The other customer, the wife, comes home. And she's like, oh, my God, I feel so bad for him. I'm like, no.
No, no, no.
Fuck this guy. Like, he could have, you know, fuck him.
Yeah, there's so many reasons for the fuck you. And I can't think of one, you know, of feel bad. Like, I can't think of a reason to feel bad. Like, he's compromising everything.
Right.
From his own health and safety all the way down to your profession.
Right.
Like, everything, he just put it all on the line for... I mean, what was it, 4 o'clock, and he could have waited until 5:30, and it wouldn't have mattered to anybody else but him?
Could have called out, and he obviously had a pocket full of shit. You could have called out and just did it all day at your mom's house.
Right.
So the customer, the husband of the customer, was like, we're talking about it like hours later, and he goes, this is what started my friendship decline with this dude.
Okay.
He was like, you know, you're lucky it happened in my house. I'm like, yeah, no shit that it didn't happen in like some random customer's house. He's like, yeah, I could have sued you. And I'm like, okay. And walk past the conversation, keep going past it. And then like 3 minutes later, he was like, yeah, man, you know, because we could sue you for something. I wouldn't, but we could sue you for something like this.
Okay.
I'm like, all right, dude. You know what I mean? Great. So, but it was like, to me, that was like such a corny thing to like iterate. To say it once in passing is like, yeah, no shit. That's why I'm glad it happened at your house so I don't get sued.
Well, that's like
to iterate it 2-3 times, like you're a dork.
You're trying to ask for something.
Yeah.
And you're not trying to outright ask for like, hey, maybe you should give me a discount, right? Like that's what he's gunning for.
Right.
But like if you're really discussing that, you're lucky it's at my house because if we were somewhere else, you could have gotten sued.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to do that because we're peoples.
Right.
And I know that you didn't cause this.
Right. This is through no fault of your own.
Right.
Because 2 days ago, this dude was dead sober.
Right.
And 2 weeks ago, he was in the joint. So you had really no reason to think that this was something that was going to happen.
At least fall back this quickly.
Yeah. So these guys that I associate with.
Okay.
All kind of stem out of my youth, right?
Right.
Like, I still associate with guys from my youth. And every once in a while, one of these guys who I grew up with, who I only see, like, peripherally through social media, does something that's commendable.
Okay.
Right? Oftentimes, when it happens. There's commendable things happening because guys are stand-up guys.
Right. Thorough, if you will.
Mm-hmm. So, my style is if I see you doing something commendable, I want to make sure you're commended.
Sure.
Right?
To be more commendable.
I take commendations onto my shoulders.
Right.
I also take commendations in different denominations. So if you want to send them my way, I'll collect.
Okay. That's fair.
I take it as a personal vendetta to compliment you when you're doing something right. I know vendetta is not the word, but I don't care.
No, I think it works there.
Okay.
Like you're going to aggressively compliment them to make sure that they get complimented.
I'm the most thugged out complimenter.
Right.
Like it's
compliment king.
It's real street shit when I start, bigging you up.
Right.
When I start stroking egos, dude, I'm doing it like Pablo Escobar style. Yeah. No, who's more ruthless? Like
Noriega?
Like Gas Pipe, what's his name?
Gas Pipe.
Yeah. The mob boss.
Oh.
Anthony Gas Pipe.
Jesus, I don't know that nickname. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Damn, I can't remember his last name. The Gas Pipe.
Be like the Iceman out here, Kuklinski?
I'm the compliment Kuklinski, dude.
Compliment Kuklinski, there we go.
So a buddy of mine, Scalco. Who's a sometimes watcher. I don't know how often he watches, but he's definitely like shared some stuff for us.
Okay. Yeah.
He's a personal trainer.
Okay.
So a few months back, he took on a client pro bono who was this kid who was like had some kind of mental disability. Not like serious enough that he couldn't function, but this kid came in saying like, hey, I want to get into shape, because like his whole life, he's been a little bit slower than everybody and hasn't thought about fitness. And somehow in his mind, he got it in his mind that now he wants to be healthy.
Right.
So, and the guy doesn't have friends. He's kind of a loner. And he was of the level of mental disability where he probably still lived at home with his parents or with somebody to help take care of him.
Okay.
But also, like, could feed himself.
All right.
So, Scalc takes this guy on pro bono and starts, like, posting online about him. And the compliments are pouring in for the guy. Right? Well, I can't remember his name. Let's say Richie.
Okay.
People are like, oh, go ahead, Richie. Knock him dead. We're happy to see you doing it. And Scalc rides this for a little while. They're playing basketball together. And I'm watching. And I'm seeing that, like, more so than Scalc getting Richie in shape, Scalc is giving Richie a friend who's, like, sits at the cool table.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. So Richie gets his fitness, but he also gets this, I'm sure he gets filled up of, like, oh, I got a buddy who's, like, super cool.
Right.
Yeah, my buddy wears Jordans. He's got girls. He's got money. Like I must be pretty cool too.
His friends are big up on me, so like this is all things that I'm not used to experience.
Right. So After that goes on, and it popped in my head one day months later. I hit Scalc up. I'm like, hey, remember when you were hanging with Richie? I'm like, that was real G, bro. Like, you're a thorough dude for doing that. Like, you have a level of charisma that should be passed on, and I appreciate that you're passing it on to people who could use some.
You got to do that. You got to make sure that the people who are being thorough get to know
that. You got to pat them on the back.
Yeah. Everyone will say, I don't do it for the compliments, and that's great, but compliments are still encouraging.
We're about recognizing each other here at the TWD Manual.
Got the TWD Awards coming up.
Yeah. Word. So, but that's not the point of the story. Isn't that I complimented him, right?
No.
So, but I did, and then we talked about it for a minute, kept it moving. Now, here we are getting ready to go to Tybee Island this summer.
Okay.
Trying to get tickets to the Savannah Bananas minor league baseball game.
They're a blast.
They look like a good time.
Yeah.
The 2023 season is sold out.
Okay. Yeah. They have some notoriety.
They're the Globetrotters of baseball.
At this point, that's not far off.
Yeah. Tickets on resale are $250 a piece. They're $25 tickets going for 1,000% markup on the resale market.
Insane for minor league baseball.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want to go see the Trenton Thunder, you can get them underpriced if you just go day
13
off.
Bucks, right. So, and we have three kids, a baby, and four adults that we were trying to all go to the game together.
Right.
So I'm like, damn, my sister tells me this. I'm like, well, let me look on the resale market. Let me see if we find anything. $250. I'm like, nah, we're not paying. What's that? $2,000 for all eight of us to go? Yet. Yeah, that's not going to happen. And it like pops into my head. I'm like, oh, I think Scalc told me his mom works for the Savannah Bananas.
Okay.
So I'm like, well, not that he owes me a favor.
No.
But there's this positive, like, well-to-do, uplifting communication between the two of us just on a regular basis. Like, because I was, you know, telling him how good he's doing. Because he comes, I went black. Because he watches and goes, yo, I love the podcast. You're killing it. It's a good time. Da-da-da-da-da. We have this thing where everything is like a happy, positive interaction.
Right.
Stroking each other's egos. Telling each other, you're the man, keep attacking the world.
Okay.
But it gave me to me, I'm like, oh, I have no problem asking him for this favor.
No, because I don't think you're asking for free or anything. You're just asking, can I get some face value if they're available?
Can you help me? Even if I had to pay the price.
Yeah, I'll give you a little premium. I just can't spend $5,000 to go see a minor league team.
See if you could help me out, right? But I say that to say, like, this is you never know when the benefit of spreading the joy winds up paying off for you.
Sure.
Right? Like, and I don't do, and that's a perfect example. I don't do it for,
you're not looking for
no,
it.
I don't do it for the purpose of like, oh, late, I can ask you for a favor later.
Right.
But I spread it to so many people that should a favor come up, I have no problem asking for
one. You feel comfortable because you're not like, hey, remember I let a guy die in your bathroom the other day. Can I get some tickets to a baseball game?
Right. So that all being said, what I'm trying to tell you is, what I want you to get in my inbox and compliment me a little bit.
Okay.
And then, you know, maybe somebody else after me. But complimenting me is the most important thing at this point.
Yeah, you're the top of the mountain here.
Because I'll be able to tell you if it's good or not. I can coach you on your complimentary skills.
Okay.
I am the Kuklinski of compliments.
That's what you've been told, yeah.
So day in and day out, I kind of do this.
Okay.
What are we looking at from the time I said, let's start this?
Right.
What do you think we're looking at time-wise?
I am spitballing here, but I'm going to tell you that we've, in total, at this point, we've been recording for 1 hour and 5 minutes. So probably 50 minutes.
Okay.
10 minutes at the beginning of Chop It Clean.
All right. So, Macklemore dropped a new song.
Yeah.
And I think that the thing with Macklemore is, we move through circles of underground hardcore hip hop heads.
Yeah.
Who I think a lot of them go, man, I don't listen to Macklemore. That shit's corny.
Right.
And I'm not saying he's not corny.
No, you're not.
And I even want, sometimes I want to hate on Macklemore.
Okay.
However, listening through his, from what I've heard from him, it's good music. It's not good on the same plane as Jadakiss is good.
No. It's a different thing.
Right. But it's good music. And why? So he comes out with a new joint called My Heroes with DJ Premier.
Right.
Which, it's a decent song.
Yeah.
But he's trying to lean into that kind of underground feel. And I don't know how successfully he did that.
Right.
But that's what he's going for. And I think that the underground tries to hate on Macklemore instead of our moral compass of self-acceptance and inclusion and like living by that and going, here's why Macklemore's good. Because right. He's himself.
Right.
He doesn't seem to be perpetrating.
He's not a culture vulture. He's not in there just purposely doing what he's doing because he thinks it will make money.
Not going to say he's not a culture vulture. I'm going to say he's himself.
To me, a culture vulture is someone who comes in and is doing this because if I do this way, I can make a lot of money.
Can you name one for me?
A culture vulture? I guess at this point...
A rap culture. Someone who raps.
I guess at this point it would be fair to say that during his duration, Little Dicky was a culture vulture. Because it's very clear now that he just started rapping so that you would pay attention to them so that he could go and do movies and TV and things like that. I thought he was pretty good at rapping as well. Like,
yeah.
It's fun rap, but it was good. But
he's skilled.
It's very clear that like he wanted to be a stand-up comedian and it wasn't clicking. So he figured out, hey, I can get into this lane and get noticed and then go get my bag where I want to get my bag.
I'm not mad at him. And I don't think that you get to rapping on the level, the skill set level that Little Dicky raps on,
right,
without being a guy of the hip hop culture for a long period of time.
Okay, that's
like
fair.
I can't listen to Little Dicky rhyme and go like, oh, he just started last year because he's trying to get paid off of rapping.
That's fair.
You know,
that's fair. But I think the main thing with Macklemore, I think Macklemore got sucked into a vortex that he never wanted to be in, and he's now being blamed for. So when his big couple of hits came out a couple years ago, what, Poppin' Tags and whatever the other one was, you know, it was mainstream music. There was no pretending that it was supposed to be underground and it just blew up. He was making music that would appease the middle masses.
Yeah.
And he was just doing his thing. Like, you didn't watch it and say, here's a guy trying to cross over or anything like that. But what happened was, that's the same year that Good Kid, Mad City came out, right? And you go to the Grammys. This Kendrick has done what Kendrick has done. He makes an impact. There's people who will tell you Good Kid, Mad City is the Illmatic of this generation. And he's up against Macklemore in all these categories, which as a underground, thorough rap fan, you look at that and you go, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous that these things are being compared in this way, even though we also always say the Grammys are meaningless.
Yeah.
So Macklemore wins like three of the four that he's up against Kendrick for. And everybody's mad at Macklemore as if he had something to do with himself winning. And Macklemore even went so far as after he got the one award, he went back to Kendrick in the back and said, this does not belong to me. This should be for you.
Yeah.
And then he has said it in numerous other interviews. He said, I did not deserve this over him. So he's being contrite about it. Like, he's letting you know,
yeah,
I don't get to choose that I won this award, and I don't think I should have.
Yeah.
And so now people really hate on him because, for some reason, because he won those awards over Kendrick, people act like, oh, this guy must think he's better than Kendrick.
Right.
And so now everything you hear from him is now tainted under that light. However, on the other side of it, he did a song with Premier. And if you watch enough of what Premier does, that he's got like a video series where he does like 4 or 5 minutes on each song he's ever produced.
Yeah.
He tells you a little story about it. And the one was when he produced whatchamacallit for Limp Bizkit in Together Now.
Yep.
And he explains, he said, Fred Durst called me and I didn't want to have anything to do with it. And then finally Fred Durst called me and said, sit down with me, have lunch with me. If you don't like what I have to say, I'll leave you alone, but just do me this courtesy.
Right.
And Premier says, I sat down with him, we talked, and I realized that he was thorough.
Right.
And now I want to work with him because I know that he's thorough. I don't want to work with people who were bullshit.
Right.
So if we take Premier's cosign to heart, at least you could say Premier thinks he's at least a good enough rapper to be on the roster.
Yeah, 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 for sure. And I think that that in itself is the closing lesson that's like, you want to be quick to judge somebody and say, you're this.
Right.
Without sitting down at lunch to find out that they're the exact opposite of what you thought they were.
In fact, maybe they're who you wanted them to be in the first place and you just didn't realize it.
Yeah. You know who we are?
The Thorough Manual White Dudes cast?
We're the best goddamn podcast that you're going to hear in the 2020s.
What did you think the word thorough means?
And regardless of whether Payday believes it or not.
Oh, I believe it.
You believe it. You keep coming back because you're going to enjoy yourself every week. You're not going to get humor, information, motivation, and dedication like this anywhere else.
Nope.
From such a charismatic host.
That's right.
I'm the most charismatic podcast host since Star and Buck Wild.
That's pretty charismatic.
Without the hate.
Right.
I am the star. What is Star? What does he go by a full name? Star?
I only ever saw him as Star
and
Buck Wild.
Me too. You know how he's the hater?
Right.
Well, I'm the complimenter.
Right. You're the reverse star.
You're in many a way. Right. I'm anti-star. I'm anti-matter, dog.
Right.
I'm anti-matter. And none of what I say matters. And none of what you say matters.
Right.
Now go put your boots back on and get out of my house. We'll see you next week.